Psalm 85. You showed favour to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. Selah. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to follow. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, and his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give us what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
This reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he says to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to them at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and the children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. To you, everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I previously said, today we begin thinking about prayer in this time of Lent. And so our readings in the next few Sundays and also our sermons will lead us towards that. Now, when tucking my children into bed at night, we normally pray together. Nowadays, I often pray separately with each of the older ones, but in the past, when they were in one room together, we often prayed together as well. I normally give thanks for the day, highlighting the good things that we have experienced. Sometimes I also slip in some very personal thanks and concerns. I normally also pray for something in the world. The children also have their prayer requests. I pray that everyone has a nice day and a lovely day tomorrow, is something that my daughter often prays. Sometimes the prayers are a bit more specific. They may evolve around school or toys. In the past, when I prayed with both of them, it also sometimes revolved around food. Like, I pray that we will have beans for dinner tomorrow, my daughter requested. Her brother then responded, I pray that we will have lollies for dinner tomorrow. My daughter is a bit older and wiser and interrupted the prayer time to remind her brother that lollies are not a healthy dinner. So my son had another try. I pray that we will all play with the blocks and not Barbie dolls. He even added a pious, Lord, hear our prayer. So my daughter had to go directly to God at this stage. I pray that my brother's prayer will not happen. I pray that we will play with Barbie. Now and then, this has become a bidding war in a sense. And so at this stage, I have to step in and remind them that praying to God is not about getting your way, but rather about bringing our cares and concerns to God and strengthening our trust in God. Still, this example of children's prayer does bring to light some important issues, doesn't it? After all, many of our cares and concerns are in conflict with each other. For well over 1,000 years, for example, Christian armies have held mass or prayer services before going into battle against each other, each praying for victory. Today, the prayer battle lines are often probably more drawn across the divide of the culture wars. Liberal and conservative Christians are praying for mutually exclusive results. The question in some of these prayers, of course, is whether they are really directed to God or, first of all, towards our own group to strengthen group identity and mark out our group against others. Some of us may have become wearied by uncomfortable prayers, and so we recede into safe prayers. Maybe we pray for world peace, an end to world hunger, and friendship among all humankind. All things that we really expect will never be solved. And we actually might not like the consequences of the fulfillment of these prayers. After all, it might mean that we can no longer have our favorite meal that often, or that we can no longer travel that much, or that we might need to live differently. The question at the heart of this is whether we believe that our prayers will really change things. Will they really change the will and action of God? For that is really what we're saying, isn't it? I know we sometimes explain prayer as drawing closer to God, as not so much humans changing God, but God changing us. And there's some truth in that. And in a future sermon, I will address that. Because we are changed through prayer. We can draw closer to God through prayer. But the Bible suggests that prayer does also change the mind of God. The God of Israel, the God we know in Jesus Christ, is not the impassible God of Greek philosophy, but rather the God in communication with humans. The Psalms are often appeals to God to listen and to act, and this is not just a rhetorical device to express Israel's trust in God. It is faith that God will act differently as a result of the prayer, that the flow of history will proceed along a different path because of the prayers of individuals and the community. In a world in which all things are connected, that is the consequence of even the smallest change of events. When you think about it, that is a somewhat outrageous expectation. After all, what is the prayer of a small group of people in comparison to world events? The psalm for today is such a prayer. it appeals to the inherent nature of God. The prayer does not ask that God change in his being or character, but that here at this time, the inherent faithfulness and mercy of God may be manifest. Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation, the psalm asks. And somehow the psalm expects God to listen and say, well, this is really a good prayer, and yes, this prayer aligns with who I am, and let's see what I can do, or something to that effect. Our gospel today is based on the faith of Israel. The disciples observe Jesus spending a lot of time in prayer. And so one of them asks Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus doesn't give them a prayer for meditation. Jesus doesn't give them any magical words of particular power. He gives them simple words. He reminds them about the most important things they should pray about. First, in prayer, call to mind who you are talking to God who is like a loving father close to you, his children, God who is holy and transcendent. Pray for the coming of the kingdom, the transformation of the world towards God's purpose. And then pray for your personal concerns, your daily cares. Confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. And remember that you are called to forgive those who sin against you. And through that, experience God's forgiving love more fully. And then finally ask God to deliver you from trial, that is, from the powers that fight against God's goodness in the world. That's the Lord's Prayer. But the prayer's wording here in the Gospel of Luke is quite different from that in Matthew. And that, together with the contents of the prayer and the parable that follows, should make us wary of making the Lord's Prayer a formulaic prayer, as if any power were contained in the specific words themselves. They are good words to gather our prayers as a community, and it is good to know them, for they can serve as the basis of our own imaginative prayers. And that is the purpose of the Lord's Prayer, to enable us to pray confidently and in all situations. Jesus invites us to come to God with all our concerns, knock shamelessly on God's door, to bring it to the Lord in prayer, as the hymn says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. In popular culture, these words have been interpreted as a call to perseverance, as being about hanging in there and even believing in yourself. But I think the key here is really who you ask and on whose door you knock. Jesus said it is the Heavenly Father who gives good gifts, and moreover, what we really need most, the Holy Spirit. With such an invitation, what is it that holds us back? It is, I think, often the fear that our prayers are not heard, that they seem to be flung into the void with no consequences, that God will not act, that the course of events will not change. And what will become of our faith, our relationship with God then? While it is hard, we need to remember that we cannot force or control God. Our prayers are not magic incantations with which we can manipulate God. God, after all, is free. And God respects the freedom that we have, we humans. And so our prayers often cannot be granted in the way we want. Sometimes we look back on our lives, look at the world, and are grateful that prayers have not been answered in the ways that humans asked. Sometimes we look at the world and cannot understand why prayers went unanswered. And all that is left is lament. Jesus invites us to joyful prayer, It is in prayer that we come to the mystery of God and the wonder of what it is to be human. It is an invitation to a relationship of trust, such as between children and their loving parent.